98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit, is what I hear every single day. It's the greatest radio show ever.
Dan Bickley. Vince Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata.
Good morning and welcome.
I love this show.
Me too.
It's the greatest radio show
really
that's ever existed.
It really, really
in
is.
In case you needed a refresher for the new version of the prolonged open.
Let's cut the crap, Mr. Murata.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world. Thursday, Valley sports fans, Dan Bickley, Vince Murata, on the 27th anniversary of the white Bronco Ford chase, including O.J. Simpson.
Oh, I remember that day so well.
27 years, we all gathered around to watch a bad NBA Finals game between the Knicks and the Rockets.
Yes. It was bad.
It was bad.
Still, for my money, the worst seven-game series in the history of professional sporting championships.
Yes, I think I'm going to agree with you on that. And the O.J. Simpson thing cut in, and we had the dual screen stuff.
And after a while, I was like, we don't even need the dual screens anymore. We don't need the basketball game.
There are people who say, from a cultural standpoint, that day changed everything in this country in terms of broadcasting, big events, car chases, swarming, sordid stories, all that stuff.
Yeah, just from the car chase thing, I don't remember car chases being televised before that.
Yeah, no, me
neither.
Not
that it was a chase, it was more of a low-speed parade, quite honestly, but wow, 27
years ago. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
I think I watched every second of that, too.
We've also got the beginning of a U.S. Open golf tournament. Vinny? You know,
finally, the fog is.
Torrey Pines, Torrey Craig,
Torrey Lovello, Torrey Spelling,
Joe Torrey,
Joe Torrey.
We got a lot to get into today. What a night in the NBA last night. We're all on pins and needles about Chris Paul, but man, last night, another little fortuitous happening. In our journey, maybe. In our postseason journey. Maybe. I guess maybe is the right way to put it.
Maybe. You can certainly build an argument for it, but maybe. Okay. I'm still sticking with maybe.
Okay. I think I will build that argument.
Okay.
Young Jesse, start the program, please.
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Get him all coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
Yeah, we start the Splash for June 17th. Sham Sharania of The Athletic tweeted the following yesterday. One NBA player has tested positive for coronavirus out of the 164 tested over the last week. That lucky player, of course, it's Suns guard Chris Paul. Come on down. You're the next contestant on What the Hell Happens Next. Suns are in a holding pattern on Paul as they get ready for the Western Conference Finals without him right now. The team did issue a statement yesterday that the next update on Paul's condition would be released on Saturday, which potentially would be the day before Game 1 of the Conference Finals if the Clippers can polish off the Utah Jazz. So the Suns waiting on that front as well. And I know there's a lot of preparation going on, but there's also that whole element of waiting for the Phoenix Suns right now.
Yeah. Yes, and I think that there's a lot of that, but it just seems to me, and I don't know whether this is legit or not, but just general things that are being said by basketball people are raising the level of optimism here that Chris Paul might not miss a game or one game at most. And we also know that with what went down last night, they're either going to open at home on Sunday against a Clippers team that probably doesn't have Kawhi, or they're going to get the Tuesday opening, which was what we considered to be the best-case scenario.
Yes. About that waiting, it was a tremendous performance by the L.A. Clippers last night, playing without Kawhi Leonard. L.A. got 37 points, 16 rebounds from Paul George, overcame 20 made three-pointers by Utah in a 119-111 win in Salt Lake City that puts L.A. up 3-2. It's now the second straight year the Clippers have been one win away from the conference finals. Of course, last season, they blew a 3-1 series lead against Denver to squander their chance at making their first conference finals appearance in franchise history. Game 6 of that series on Friday night. It was a very entertaining game.
Uh-huh.
It was a strange game in that the Utah Jazz, from three-point range in the first half, 17 three-pointers in the first half, and they were up 5.
Yeah.
There had to be a feeling of, uh-oh, in the second, in that locker room at halftime.
Yeah.
And then they go three for 24 in the second half from behind the arc.
Exactly. That looked to me very much like one of those Suns games we would occasionally get during the regular season. Come out on fire from the perimeter and not stop shooting them, shoot themselves out of leads. That kind of was, I thought that was an incredibly stout performance from the Clippers. I don't know if they're ever going to get that again, especially from Reggie Jackson, you know, but for one night, that was quite impressive.
Yeah, and then we got the, injuries have been a big part of the playoffs. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell, even through this ankle injury that he's recovering from, has been brilliant at times. And then last night, he was not brilliant and said, I couldn't do the things that I wanted to do out there with his ankle.
Well, he tweaked it again.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the things that I had a takeaway from last night's game. Like, man, Donovan Mitchell is not, he's as fragile as just about anybody.
Another great game before that. It was either an epic comeback by the Atlanta Hawks or a historic collapse by the Philadelphia 76ers or a combination of the two. But the upstart Hawks are one win away of the from the Eastern Conference Finals. They beat Philadelphia 109-106 in Game 5. Atlanta trailed by as many as 26 points with 8 minutes and 30 seconds to go in the third quarter, but slowly chipped away at the deficit. Trae Young had 13 of his 39 in the fourth quarter. Lemon Pepper Lou Williams also had 13 in the quarter. Atlanta outscored Philly 40-19 over the final 12 minutes. Joel Embiid and Seth Curry combined for 73 points for the Sixers, but Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris were both awful, combining for just 12 points. Simmons missed 10 of his 14 free throw attempts, and Philadelphia has choked away 44 points worth of leads in their last two losses.
Okay, check this out. Ben Simmons has missed 45 free throws this postseason. The Phoenix Suns have missed 29.
Yeah, there's some amazing Ben Simmons free throw statistics.
Yeah.
And they're ready to run him out of town in Philadelphia. And I got to say, I know the fans are very reactionary there. I don't blame them. He took 4 shots and missed 10 free throws.
And my buddy from Philly just instantly texted me, Sixers need to trade Simmons. They're ticked, dude. Philly fans. And how about Atlanta being the city known for squandering things?
Mm-hmm.
Trae Young is changing everything about the dynamics of being a sports fan in Atlanta.
They might have exercised that demon.
They might have.
The Sixers basically blew a 28-3 lead.
Dude, and I told you there was a guy who put $10,000 on the Atlanta Hawks to win the Eastern Conference. If they pull that off, that dude's going to net $500,000.
Good for him.
Wow.
Disposable income is nice.
Yeah.
Brooklyn Nets can join the Suns in the conference finals round with a win over Milwaukee tonight. The Nets took a pivotal game 5 on Tuesday, coming back from a 17-point deficit thanks to a Herculean effort by Kevin Durant. That game tips off tonight at 5:30. You could see it on ESPN. The D-backs continue racking up road losses and have now tied a Major League Baseball record with their 22nd straight loss away from home. This one, a 13-7 pasting laid on them by the San Francisco Giants. D-backs got 2 runs to grab the lead in the first, but Merrill Kelly then came out and got racked for 4 runs in a 47-pitch bottom of the first, setting the tone for the rest of the night. The Giants tortured D-backs pitching for 13 hits and 5 home runs, 13th straight loss overall. They are now tied with the 1963 New York Mets as the only teams to have 2 or more 13-game losing streaks in one season. And it's only June 17th, Bick.
Oh, my goodness.
Today's game does mark the return of Zach Gallen after his UCL injury. He'll be faced by Kevin Gausman. Day game, so you don't have to wait around to see history be made tonight. All right, today. 12:45, first pitch from the Bay. Pregame coverage starts at 12 on ESPN, 6:20 a.m. Real quick other note on Major League Baseball. Mets pitcher Jacob deGrom continues to have one of the most baffling seasons ever. He threw 3 perfect innings, struck out 8 of the 9 batters he faced, left with discomfort again. The Mets beat the Cubs, by the way, 6-3. He also had an RBI single in the second inning. He's got 6 runs batted in this year, and he's allowed 4 earned runs.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Wow.
And talk about being a frustrated fan base. Every
wow.
time the guy pitches, he's electric, but he can't get through a game.
Wow.
Mercury lost last night to the Sparks, 85-80. Their 4th straight loss. Same 2 teams will play tomorrow night at the L.A. Convention Center because there's a playoff game at the Staples Center. And finally, U.S. Open getting underway today. Long fog delay held up for the start of the tournament. But for the first round, it looks like a beautiful day at Torrey Pines.
Yeah, it does.
Matthew Wolf is your leader right now. 3 under through 4 holes. He is 1 stroke better than Patrick Rogers, Francesco Molinari, Tyrell Hatton, and Siwoo Kim. Brooks Koepka,
yeah.
Koepka right now 2 strokes off.
Yeah, listen, and one of the big stories is could Phil Mickelson actually win back-to-back majors and get the career Grand Slam?
Yeah, he's finished, what, 2nd 6 times
6
at this event?
Times. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so we'll keep you updated on that as well. There's a lot going on today. There's your splash. But, man, Bick said it perfectly in the splash. What a night in the NBA after a painful beginning today to the day in the league. We'll get to it next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata. Dan Bickley and Vince Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
George, foul line extended on the far side against O'Neal. Couple of jab steps for George. He's going one-on-one. He'll rise over the top. He got the foul called. He put it in. Paul George, the 18-footer is true. And a 3-point play for PG-13. Tonight, the man has been rated R.
That's another great call.
Yeah, he's en fuego, if you will.
After Derek Favors got put into the earth 2 nights ago. PG-13 is now rated R. Man, that's a fantastic call from the Clippers Radio Network. Clippers come to play last night at Salt Lake City in a very entertaining game, knowing earlier in the day that they would be without Kawhi Leonard, their best player. Kawhi Leonard apparently has told teammates that he's going to be out for a while. This according to Brian Windhorst from ESPN.
Hard to see when there's concern on Kawhi Leonard's face because he has the same look at all times. But, you know, he grimaced pretty bad on that. And I was kind of surprised they didn't come over and, like, treat him. He was just sort of sitting on the bench without getting treatment. And maybe he told them, stay away from me. I don't want to give anything away. But he obviously had to have been feeling that something happened. I mean, he really yelped. You know, they put out an injury report yesterday saying that he wasn't injured. But last night he told his teammates, I don't know if it was on a text or a Zoom call or whatever. Last night he told them, he's like, listen, I'm going to be out for a bit.
Mm. So they respond. Really, really good game for the much maligned Paul George. It's been up and down in the playoffs for Paul George in his recent NBA history. He was magnificent last night. 37 points, 16 rebounds. Talked about his performance in Game 5.
You know, it was no secret. I knew I had to be big tonight. And got to be big going forward. It was just no secret coming into this. And, you know, I just first put faith in God, believed in myself. My teammates trusted me. T-Lou trusted me. And, you know, I thought we lived in a moment and we just played our hearts out tonight. T-Lou is trusting me in every situation. You know, it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, I learned from my mistakes. I'll get better along the way. But he's allowed me to make mistakes and grow from it. And he's done that all season long. And so he's continuing on to trust me. The team continues on to trust me. So, you know, I got to go out there. I got to play and just continue to be me.
Yeah, so now 3-2 mm-hmm. going back to L.A. for Game 6 tomorrow night. The
yep.
Clippers are right on the doorstep again. And taking that step is something that franchise has never been able to do. The last 2 times they've been in the second round with 3 wins, they've squandered leads. They've never made it to the conference final. So that's the next step.
Yeah.
You don't expect Kawhi Leonard for Game 6 either. Can they keep it up? What does it mean for the Suns? I mean, tons of questions for all of this.
It does. And I watched last night's game. First of all, what an enjoyable night watching NBA basketball. Of course, not for my Philly friends, but it really had something for everybody last night. And the Clippers win, from my viewpoint, was a big win for the Phoenix Suns. Because to me, the most dire scenario would have been the Jazz winning out and the Suns having to open up in Salt Lake City on Sunday. That That, to me, didn't feel good. I look at what happened last night, and I saw the Clippers beat the Jazz in Salt Lake City without Kawhi Leonard. If that is not a message to the Phoenix Suns that you can win a playoff game without Chris Paul, I don't know what is.
Mm-hmm.
And secondarily now, it sets up to me what looks to be a really good scenario, because either the Suns are going to open at home on Sunday against a Kawhi-less Clippers, and we're assuming he's going to be missing some of the Western Conference Finals if they get there, mm-hmm. if not all of it.
Yeah.
Or they get the Tuesday start, which was the preferred preference from everybody in the Valley. I'm really impressed at what the Clippers were able to do. I didn't know that they would be able to summon that kind of performance in Salt Lake City, especially after the way the Jazz began that game. They were just raining three-point shots.
Oh, Bogdanovich was going nuts. Everybody that was throwing up threes, they started to make them. When you make 17 in the first half, and I know Eddie Johnson, a Suns analyst, is very outspoken on analytics culture in basketball, and he's kind of puffing his chest out a little bit today, because that was what can go wrong when you rely. And during the game, they were flashing up how few two-point shots that the Utah Jazz were taking. They were getting, obviously, there was a stretch where they were holding off the Clippers, and they got three straight offensive rebounds and follows by Rudy Gobert, but they really didn't do much inside, and they relied on that shot, mm-hmm. 3 of 24 behind the arc in the second half.
Yeah.
That's the danger in it.
Yeah, that really, really is. And it was the people at halftime who said, if you're the Clippers, you should feel good about this. We're right on the money, because the Jazz came out and their touch was gone. And just like that, the Clippers took over the game. Clippers, I've got to give them credit, because without Kawhi Leonard, they did a really good job. And again, this might have just been a one-game scenario, but Reggie Jackson played really well. Marcus Morris played really well. Nicholas Batum played really well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching closely, and the way they got Rudy Gobert moving out from under the basket and their ball movement, they were able to find open shots. I just was really tremendously impressed from a team that I'm not often impressed with. And I think I feel that way because I feel happy for the Phoenix Suns.
Yes. On the Clippers specifically, though, I walked into the office today. One of our coworkers from the news station was like, oh, so it looks like the Clippers. And I said, not necessarily.
No.
Because this is the LA Clippers, after all.
Yes.
And I will believe the Clippers can handle their business when the Clippers show that they can handle their business.
Yeah.
They got to win one of the next two. I don't know what to make of the Utah injuries. I mean, that's obviously a big part of all of this. But Utah's had a great season. They're a very well put together team. I expect them to come out and play lights out on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a great scenario. Regardless of who wins a potential Game 7, that would be the best.
Yeah.
Again, it remains the best possible scenario for
yeah,
the Suns.
I agree with you, but my way of thinking is either scenario is going to work well for the Phoenix Suns. That's just my opinion. I look at the Jazz, and I fully agree with you. I don't think that the Clippers it's going to be hard for them to summon what they did last night. And let me throw Luke Kennard into the mix as well last night, who made a lot of shots for the team.
He's actually shooting well.
He really is. And Paul George was so sturdy last night. They're the Clippers. I don't expect them to have that good of a game again. But Donovan Mitchell, when he shot that jump shot and came up tender on his ankle, I thought, whoa, that ankle really is not even near healed. And if he is not explosive, they may not win Game 6 in Los Angeles. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought at halftime, I'm sure you saw this, but it was really, really cool, because after Bojan Bogdanovic went nuts, the TNT crew had a lot of fun with that. Did you see that?
I did not.
Okay, so Shaq came out and said the Jazz have 99 problems, but a Vitch ain't one. And then he went on about all these Vitches that he likes in basketball. They're all great shooters. Peja Stojakovic, Drazen Petrovic. And so he did this whole thing. And at the end of it, Charles Barkley goes, yeah, Shaq sure likes his Vitches. And I'm like, these guys are so good at just pushing the envelope, right?
I'm sorry I missed that.
It was really comical. Yeah. It was really funny.
Yeah. There's two Bogdanoviches left in the NBA playoffs, and they're both shooting lights out.
Lights out, right.
Win tickets to the first Suns home Western Conference Finals game in over 10 years. Just text TICKET to 620-620 for your chance to score the hottest tickets in town. Once again, that's TICKET to 620-620. While basketball unfolds around them, the Phoenix Suns sit and wait on a couple of fronts. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chan Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of the Suns' run to the championship, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station, and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Bickley and Murata talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals now.
Talk to Chris every day, and that's pretty much how it's been all year long. We're talking about the game, things we can do better as a team, family, advice about stuff. You know, he and I were both ticked off last night that Book wasn't on the All-NBA team. That's pretty much a joke, and I'm just beside myself that we didn't have anybody on the all defensive team. You know, those are the things we've talked about in the last day or so. And so to answer your question, Chris and I are always talking. It's not always basketball. He's a guy that I like to pick his brain. He's always picking mine. We see a situation in the game or, you know, something's going on in our families. We just talk, but it's like that with most of our players who are crazy enough to talk to me when they leave the gym.
It's Monty Williams yesterday addressing the media. Started out, obviously, the first question asked during his session via Zoom, Bick, was, what about the Chris Paul thing? And he leaned on the statement that the Suns put out yesterday, which was one line long.
Yeah.
That the next update on Chris Paul and his status in the COVID protocols, health and safety protocols of the league, would come on Saturday. But now, obviously, look, the Suns, They're in a tough spot here, no doubt about it. You lose your maybe your most influential player in the playoffs to this point in Chris Paul, a guy who's been so influential in what you've done all season long. But make no mistake about it, the Phoenix Suns are doing everything they can to make sure that Chris Paul is in the loop. Monty Williams talked about it there. This is not a, hey, you're quarantined, but you're not exiled. Chris Paul is involved in everything that they're doing. It's just not in person.
Yeah, and listen, it's nothing that can't be overcome. I don't think Chris Paul is going to lose his conditioning. I don't think it's fair to worry. I heard Wolf talk about this morning. The only proverbial fly in the ointment, if you will, is if Chris Paul is actually symptomatic. And I don't know what the chances of that are. Wolf made the point that if he was asymptomatic, it might be something you think the team would get out there. And it's kind of a valid point, and yet at the same time, the Suns are very, very careful with all of this stuff and have been from the very, very beginning. I really feel okay about this if he's asymptomatic. If he's asymptomatic, he may miss a game. If the series starts on Tuesday, I like his chances of being there for the start of the series. I think there's a growing optimism that he's going to be ready on Sunday if that happens to be the case. I think that would have to be true only if he was asymptomatic. If he was symptomatic, if he was even dealing with a cough or fatigue or whatever, then it might take some time to reconcile. I don't know. I'm going to hope for the best.
That's all you can do.
Yeah, and I'm going to look at that Clippers performance last night, and if the Clippers can win in Salt Lake City without Kawhi, the Phoenix Suns can win a game for Chris Paul without Chris Paul.
Yeah, I mean, and again, one of the themes, and we'll talk about this later on in the show, one of the themes of these NBA playoffs has been key injuries to big-time players. I mean, Mike Conley has been out the whole series for Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mike Conley is an all-star. I don't think he's as important to the Jazz as what Chris Paul is, but they found a way to be tied 2-2 through four games without Mike Conley. It's something that teams are dealing with, either guys missing time or being affected. Like you said, all you can do is sit back and hope for the best possible scenario.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't expect, even if Chris Paul is asymptomatic, I don't expect the Suns to put that information out there. I think they're going to stick to their information timetable, and we'll find something out on Saturday.
I think that's a fair perspective as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I said, I think in the moment when it happened, it was such a shock to our system because we were all in a completely different mode. We thought this week was going to be no worries from our end. It was going to be a hang back, kick back, let everybody else fight it out, and we'll be all rested and ready to go whenever that other series concludes. I think the more and more you step back from it, the more and more you think, okay, maybe this is just going to be a temporary setback. The thing that got me kind of sad is listening to Matt Barnes talk about how down and dejected Chris Paul sounded in their conversation.
Yeah, Matt Barnes said that on the Jump on ESPN.
Yeah, I mean, I got a chance to talk to Chris this morning. He is vaccinated. Obviously, frustration on this side. He's like, Matty, all I do is go to games, practice, and come home. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I just don't really know what's going on. So he said he has to, like as you said, continue to get tested till he's cleared. But just... it felt terrible for Chris. I mean, his playoff track record, as talented he is, has been so injury riddled and just bad luck. And then you see in the first game of the playoffs this year, he gets a stinger in his shoulder and he can't shoot. He fights through that, has been playing amazing, leading a team that didn't make the playoffs last year to the Western Conference Finals, and now he's in the safety protocol. So again, hopefully this Jazz Clippers series goes 7 games. Chris gets through the protocol fast because he is vaccinated and we can see him back on the court for game 1 of the Western Finals.
Yeah, here's another one from Matt Barnes. That same segment on The Jump, talking more about Chris Paul's demeanor.
When you talked to him this morning, is there anything else he shared? Do you feel comfortable talking about?
No, it was just his energy was down. He was sad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's so like this is the hottest team in the game. He's playing arguably the best playoff basketball of his career. He's leading this young Phoenix Suns team, and just his voice and his energy was just very sad. So I just really felt for him this morning.
Yeah, I could imagine him feeling that way because of what Matt Barnes talked about. It's been so well documented about Chris Paul's postseason career, Bick. Is that, you know, it has been, you know, defined in many ways by injuries. It has been defined by bad luck. And there was probably that thought by Chris Paul, all right, I was dealt a little bad luck and a little adversity earlier in the playoffs, and I worked my way through it. And, you know, he killed the Denver Nuggets almost single-handedly in the fourth quarter of those games. He probably thought he had dodged that bullet that was, coming his way
exactly.
This postseason. And
exactly.
To be presented with this at a time where, again, COVID is still a thing, obviously. It would be foolish to argue otherwise, but that Shams Charania tweet really stood out. 164 NBA players tested in the last week, and, one positive test. I mean,
listen, and I have got a lot of, if I'm trying to kind of hold down the anger inside of me about what might happen, and that is the idea that Chris Paul is vaccinated and asymptomatic and may be banned from playing a playoff game based on your COVID-19 protocol. I wonder what in the world we're doing when, again, the NBA and Adam Silver are allowing their owners to sell seats for profits, to pack their stadium for profit, and yet you're still doing this over here. So where's the concern for the health and safety of the players when you're bringing in 19,000 people whom you have no idea what their state of health happens to be?
Hey, wait, don't accuse the NBA of not caring about that, because they're leaving like 4 rows of seats empty behind each bench.
Yeah,
I'll have you know they have the players at the forefront of their thoughts. Those tarps, they are COVID-free.
Yes, they are. They are COVID blockers. They are, and so I could very easily go down this path and start raging about this because this does not seem fair at all to me. If you are going to allow your teams to sell and fill arenas, then don't come to me about safety. But whatever. But I'm going to wait on that because I think that this thing might resolve itself in a good place. And I think the Suns are still in a very good place to make all of the things they want to happen.
Yeah. Coming up next, ASU football appears to be in a little bit of hot water that could turn into some soup. We'll discuss next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata. Dan Bickley and Vince Murata. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Now, we touched on this yesterday. Pretty interesting stuff. Started with the Doug Howler piece on The Athletic, kind of outlining some allegations of wrongdoing in recruiting, namely for Arizona State bringing in recruits for visits during the COVID dead period. And apparently it went on, according to Pete Thamel's report on Yahoo, he had a lot of concrete information on this.
Oh.
And it does not paint a very good picture for Arizona State football. The article on Yahoo Sports from Pete Thamel starts out, earlier this month, an anonymous person sent a dossier of dozens of pages to the Arizona State Athletic Department. It included screenshots, receipts, pictures, and emails related to numerous potential violations within Arizona State's football program. The more you read, the picture is painted, Vic, of a very, contentious feeling towards certain members of Herm Edwards' Arizona State football coaching staff. And a lot of guys who have not, are no longer with the program, who have an axe to grind against certain members. So this is, hey, you're going to get rid of me or I'm not going to get my opportunity. I'm throwing you guys under the bus.
Okay, this story is so problematic in so many ways. And now I understand the George Reister tweet about how it's going to be very hard for this, maybe very hard for this coaching staff to remain intact with this upcoming season. And here's why. So when you've got a dysfunction in an organization and you've got a faction of coaches and employees who are so uncomfortable with the lane that ASU football got into, brazen about breaking rules in terms of bringing recruits on campus during a pandemic that they began, according to Pete Thamel, wasn't just one of them, they began to document all of the illicit happenings, and they had pictures and receipts and how these recruits arrived in Tempe and who paid for it and all of that. And that was in the dossier that was sent to ASU and the NCAA's compliance division. The number two guy in the NCAA compliance division, the number two guy, is taking on this case. That's how serious it is. When you look now at what is involved here, these are really, on one hand, you can say this is nothing more than garden variety cheating. It happens everywhere. But the problem is it happened during a pandemic, which is a brazen act so beyond the pale, you wonder how this program got into this place. Pete Thamel, in his piece in Yahoo Sports, paints a picture of Antonio Pierce coming in, gaining power with every successive recruiting victory, and then apparently, according to the story, becoming drunk on that power and pushing the envelope and cheating and bringing in recruits during a dark period. And it looks to me, according to that story, that Herm Edwards was either complicit or completely clueless. And either way, he can't continue being the head coach of ASU football if these are true.
Doesn't Thamel's piece point out that Herm Edwards is pictured with some of these recruits?
Yes, yes. And that's when they talk about receipts. So these recruits who could not be on campus were on campus, and they were meeting with Herm Edwards. And there's pictures. So, again, cheating in college football, it's everywhere. You can see how this might have happened to a program that finally started snagging five-star recruits, that finally started making inroads in Southern California, thinking, we have got this on. We are so close to a championship. Let's push this thing. To do that is really stupid, because now you are trusting your entire program and your entire careers to high school seniors and hoping that they don't talk or drop dime on you. And the arrogance of that is stunning to me. Stunning.
Well, how about
the fact that Herm Edwards let this happen is stunning to me.
This apparently isn't even the kids talking.
Yeah, right, right.
Here's part of Thamel's piece in Yahoo. The arrival of the dossier at Arizona State football became the subject of intense intrigue this week as it underscored the schism that has divided and could potentially disrupt the tenure of fourth-year head coach Herm Edwards. While Edwards operates as a mostly hands-off CEO, associate head coach Antonio Pierce has accumulated much of the power in the ASU program thanks to his recruiting reach. His rise to power has been enabled by Deputy Athletic Director Gene Boyd, who oversees football. With Pierce's power has also come division, as coaches have lost jobs. There has been a lot of turnover on that staff. Recruiting staff have felt pressure to blindly follow Pierce's aggressive tactics, and multiple sources said that those who insisted on avoiding recruiting gray areas were ostracized. That left a running joke on group text and in phone calls this week about the mystery of who collected and documented all the receipts, emails, and screenshots. One source said, quote, there's too many disgruntled people. There's too many that have been through that program that are frustrated. It could be any one of 10 people.
Wow.
People will point to Kevin Mawai, the former Pro Bowl offensive lineman who was on the staff of Herm Edwards, no longer is on the staff. He had a tweet that was deleted that said, for all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open and everything that is concealed will be brought to light and made known to all. Again, he deleted that tweet. But I don't know if you heard this, and this doesn't shock me at all either. On ESPN Radio, Keyshawn Johnson basically named Kevin Mawai.
Now, all of a sudden, AP gets kicked up as defensive coordinator, gets more power to help turn Arizona State's program around. Kevin Mawai, an ex-teammate of mine, didn't get the offensive line coaching job, then goes to the Indianapolis Colts and gets fired. Herm doesn't hire him, and he played for Herm. Right. So he becomes this whistleblower type that is kind of like saying, you know, oh, well, you know, they doing this, they doing that. It's not improper benefits. The thing that they may have violated is the rules of the NCAA bringing guys or communicating with players and families during COVID. Right. So it's a little bit different than what the stories are probably trying to make it sound like.
So you're saying
like.
it's recruiting violations. When we hear that, we think right away of
money and all change.
That. This was there were COVID protocols that the NCAA put out, and,
yes.
and they broke those.
And you
rules.
Got disgruntled employees because Herm Edwards and Ray Anderson are empowering people that look like them, and some people are getting mad at that. Let's be honest and real with it.
Whoa,
100%.
Look,
not
whoa,
a joke.
Keyshawn Johnson works for who?
Whoa.
ESPN.
Herm Edwards is the darling of ESPN.
Yes, he is.
To make that a race thing? Oh, man. Okay, first of all, it's really bad form to name a guy when you don't have proof it's Kevin Mawai.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Keyshawn Johnson better be right about that, or he's going to be hearing from Kevin Mawai's lawyer. Secondarily, whistleblowers are not bad people. Okay, there's this athletic mentality that anybody who snitches is the enemy. Okay, that's not the case. That's not truth.
Yeah, but potentially in this situation, could the whistleblower be somebody who engaged in these illegal activities? And then,
maybe
since he was shown the door,
maybe.
I mean, sure.
I'm unlike Keyshawn Johnson. I'm not making any assumptions.
No, neither am I. And when you hear people say it could be any one of 10 people. I mean, you can go down the list of coaches and that are no longer there that have been passed over for opportunities, you could probably do it. The most disappointing thing is we don't have a lot of information on this. This is coming fast and furious this week, as Pete Thamel pointed out in his piece. The most disappointing part to me is whether you are a hands-on head coach or a CEO type of a program, your belief has to trickle down. And if these things are true, it did not trickle down. When you come in and say, we're going to rebuild this program, we're going to do it the right way, and it looked like you were doing it that way, and the exact opposite is true, that's just a gut punch. That's beyond disappointing.
No, Keyshawn Johnson, I also disagree. He's acting like payers being paid would be a bigger deal than this. I see it exactly the opposite. If this was just money changing hands, I'd be like, look, this is a victimless crime. I said the same thing about Arizona basketball. But this is something different. This is a blatant, look, I've got a daughter who was at ASU who spent most of her year while I'm paying full tuition in an apartment because she couldn't go to class because of the pandemic. And they're bringing recruits on campus in a season in which they were canceling games on a weekly basis.
On a season where ASU was limited to four games because of a massive COVID outbreak on their own team?
Yeah, that's
more than a bad look. That's just incredibly irresponsible.
And to put a final point on this, if you read David Shaw, the Stanford head coach's quote in Pete Thamel's story, ASU, by doing this during a pandemic, has made enemies of everybody in the Pac-12. Everybody wants a piece of ASU right now because of what they did.
Yeah, because they weren't negatively recruiting against ASU already.
Well,
I know it takes it to a different level.
I think inside the industry, this is different than paying players. This is something that really, with public health at risk, You're doing this? And it's not just the doing it. It's the doing it in front of people. Like, you don't even care. Do you think people aren't going to notice?
Brazen, definitely. When you look at the potential end result, just because you illegally brought recruits onto campus didn't mean you signed them all either.
No.
I mean, what's the potential benefit of all of it?
Yeah, and that's the whole thing, too. And as Pete Thamel pointed out in his piece, the NCAA can mess with these kids' eligibility, the ones who made these illegal trips, and they can get them to drop dime and give details. Now, I don't know if this is going to turn into a Sean Miller Arizona thing in terms of dragging out for years.
It's the NCAA. Everything drags out for years.
So I'll be curious to see what Michael Crow's reaction to this is, as somebody who's been very progressive in building and changing ASU's reputation for the better. I'll be very curious to see what he thinks about this.
Yeah. Coming up next, LeBron James has been the biggest opponent of what the NBA did this year in terms of scheduling, and he says it's manifesting itself in playoff injuries. Does he have a point? The NBA's responded. We'll get into all of it next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.